God's been good to all of us. Amen. If you have your Bible, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Praying and asking God what to preach this morning, and going to kind of revisit a topic that I preached on years ago. It won't never be the same, but God knows what we need this morning. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Appreciate you being here. If you're visiting with us, we hope you feel at home and come back and be with us. Amen. If you're a church member, we know you feel at home. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, look at verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth unto Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Askim in Esphethvidim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his beam was like a weaver's beam, and the spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye not come out to set your battle in array? And not, am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all the Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done, God, the folks on the altar, Lord, and I know, God, you're still dealing with hearts, God, right now, Lord, and I pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, you just show up there, God, you do what you need to do, God, you convict hearts, God, God, help folks to get on this altar today, Lord, and God, help us right now, Lord, help us right now to be able to get out of the way, Lord, and let you do the preaching, and we'll praise you for all you do, God, in Jesus' name, amen. We've heard sermons on facing the giants. We've heard sermons on fighting the giants. We've seen movies about it and everything. But you know, if you're gonna kill a giant, you got to know what a giant is. Yeah. Amen. You got to understand and know what a giant is. First thing, let's look at what a giant is not. A giant is not something that you can defeat. If you can defeat it, it ain't a giant. How many of us are facing some things, you know, and I do that all the time. A lot of times I'll try to take care of situations within myself, but those aren't giants. A giant is something that's made up in your mind is not a giant. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. I like what I heard one old preacher say, don't tell me worry and don't work, because everything I worry about don't ever happen. If you can make it up in your mind, it's not a giant, amen? How many times do we make things bigger than what they really are? But David was facing something, and the children of Israel were facing something that was a giant. Now, I want you to understand, something that can destroy you is a giant. Verse 4 through 7, it talks about how big this man was, almost 10 foot tall. In our days, I'm thinking, Brother David, in our days, probably weighed 500-600 pounds. The Bible talks about how his spearhead was so big, the coat of mail that he had. This man was a destroyer. This man was a warrior from his youth up. And the children of Israel, you know, I know how we are. We sit in church and we get all holy. Amen. We sit in church and we preach the sermons and we teach Sunday school and we talk about it and we preach and we preach about how we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to act. And I can get up here and tell you, man, I tell you right now, the children of Israel should have just went down that mountain over there and just whooped the fire out of everybody. They had God on their side. It's real easy to say that when you ain't there. How would you have felt like if there had been somebody 10 foot tall on the other side of the valley calling you out? Whole lot different then, ain't it? This was something that could destroy them. Understand? They were in real danger. And my mind went to Matthew chapter 14 when Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter said, "Lord, if this be you, bid me come unto thee." But the Bible says that Peter got out of the water and Peter started walking on the water. We all talk about him. We all run him down and we all holier than thou. Oh, if that had been me walking on the water, I'd have just kept my eyes on Jesus. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't have got out the boat to start with. The Bible says he got his eyes off of Jesus and beginning to sink. He got in real danger. Understand something, folks. Anything you're facing physically or spiritually that is bigger and stronger than you are, guess what? That's a giant. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, "I have come to give you life and life more abundant." The thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's good at what he does, amen. He will destroy you. He will defeat you. He will kill you. And you got to understand something. You and I like what Preacher Jack Lasseter said. You and I can't even fight those Barney Fife type demons. Much less when Satan unloads something on us that's a real hardcore demon. I mean, Tommy, I don't care what we can do. The very best we can do is call out on Jesus and ask Jesus to help us, because it's a giant, and a giant will destroy you. What are you facing in your life right now? What kind of giants do you have in your life right now that you know that if you don't take care of it and God don't help you, it's going to destroy you? A giant is anything that defies God. Listen now. The Bible talks about in chapter 17, verse 10, "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." That word defy right there, it means to defame or blaspheme or reproach. How many of our friends, now listen now, don't cut me off about this. How many of our friends defy God by the words they use? How many of our friends defy God by the lives they lead? Oh, you don't drink, but your friends do. You don't cuss, but your friends do. You don't go to the places like that, but your friends do. Anything that defies God in your life is a giant. And understand something. If it defies God in your life, it will destroy you in the end if you're not careful. Under 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 20 says this, "And yet there was a battle in Gath. There was a man of great stature that had every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 4 and 20 in number. He also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Salma, the brother of David, slew him." Understand something. It defies God. It defies God in its actions. It defies God in its content. How many of us watch things on TV that defy God? If it defies God, what? It should not be in our lives. We ought to do our very best to defeat it. Anything that can call you out is a giant. The Bible tells us in verse 8 through verse 9, "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants." This was a common practice back in the day. You had one warrior on this side, one warrior on that side. Instead of all the armies getting in there and killing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men, let these two greatest ones you got fight it out. And ever who wins, that's going to win the battle. That's real easy to say that when you got somebody 10 foot tall on your side. That's real easy to say that when you got somebody that's never been defeated on your side. That's real easy to say that. But understand something. He is standing over there calling out the armies of God. My daddy always told me something one time, Kevin. He said, you know, don't play these pinball machines and stuff like that. He said, anything that backs itself into a corner and challenges the whole world will kill you. I'll never forget just a few years ago. And y'all gonna remember when we were fighting against the poker machines and all that kind of stuff several years ago. There was a man that told me this. He said, I could go into a store and them machines be in the back room. He said, and I can hear them calling my name. What's been calling you out lately? What's been challenging you lately? Maybe it's a certain sin. Maybe it's a certain person that's trying to call you out. Understand, that is a giant. And I'm telling you right now, if it's got enough pull, pornography, alcohol, drugs, sin, whatever it is, if it's got enough pull to call you out, that is a giant in your life. How many of us are facing the giants right now? How many of us are struggling against these things? And let me tell you something, the struggle's real. You better understand that the struggle is real, because I preached a message years ago about how the roar is real. Understand something, Satan's out there, and he's going to put everything in your path to try and destroy you. But the problem is, with some of us, we're not spiritually enough to discern what is a giant and what is not a giant. How many times has sin called us out? Proverbs chapter 7. Now listen. Talking about the adulterous woman and how that allure is there. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth down straightway as an ox goeth to slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver and a bird hasten to a snare. He knoweth not that it is for his life. Alcohol, pornography, whatever the sin is in your life that's calling you out right now. Christian, listen to me. We don't want to come to God's house and hear the preacher preach on how Christians sin. I know we ain't supposed to, but I live in the real world, amen? We live in the real world. Christians sin. And it ain't got to be some kind of sexual sin. It ain't got to be something like that. Maybe it's just a temptation to do something that you know you're not supposed to do. Maybe it's a temptation to say something that you know you're not supposed to say, but it's calling you out. Understand something. When it does that, that is a giant in your life. Anything that has a cause is a giant. Verse 29, David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I remember several years ago when that thing with Chick-fil-A come out, how did everybody kind of went together. We the Christians all across the United States kind of went together, and Chick-fil-A stock boomed. They made more money in those next few weeks than they had done in the past. And understand, that was because Christians got together. There was a cause. There was something worth fighting for, and we stood together. It's hard to get us to do that anymore. It's hard to get us to stand together and fight together anymore. How about this? Our homes are in trouble right now. I'm telling you right now, I know we got camp meeting coming up, and I've told Preacher Buddy when he comes, I said, you pray hard about it. Maybe you want to do a camp meeting or a revival on the home. I'm telling you right now, the devil is doing his very best to destroy homes. Christian families that were used to be Christian families are not together in church anymore. I mean, they're busted up. The husband's gone one way. The wife's gone one way. Is there not a cause anymore? That is a giant in our life. Our health is in trouble. I caught myself over the last few months. Y'all know that last year I had a mass taken off my kidney. And I caught myself over the last few months, Matt, just kind of going back to the same things that I used to do as far as what I used to eat and drink, all this other kind of stuff. And it's like the Lord said a few weeks ago, do the same thing you always done, and you're going to get the same result. Amen. So I had to kind of change a little bit of things. Tell you something, folks. Do the same thing you always done, you're going to get the same results. Trying to fight the giant the way you've always fought him, you're going to get the same results. Understand that there's a cause. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, wherefore thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, I charge and I commit thee unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. We have a cause, so we got to fight the giant in our life. I understand something. I've said this before, as far as when I was a state trooper, you cannot go out to battle without all your equipment. How many of us are fighting unarmed? And I don't want to just jump on everybody. But folks, let me tell you something. When you know there's giants out there to fight, and you choose to stay out of church on Sunday night and Wednesday night, you're asking to be defeated. When you know there's giants out there to fight, and you choose not to come to church and not to bring your kids to church so your kids can get them what they need, you're setting your kids up for a fall. I know that ain't hard, that ain't good popular preaching, but it's the truth. When you know there's a giant out there to be defeated and you don't take this right here and try to defeat him, you're setting yourself up for a fall. Amen. And it's amazing to me, how that Preacher Trevor, when things happen in somebody's life and they come to the church or they come to your deacons and they say, what in the world? I just don't understand why this is happening to me. Yes, you do. Amen. Yes, you do. Because you didn't follow the prescription that God's laid out to kill giants. Anything that'll make you try on different armor is a giant. Chapter 17, verse 38 and 39 says this, and Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass on his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. I got to thinking about this real hard. Melvin, just yesterday as I was studying, why in the world would he try to put this on anyhow, Brother Tony? I mean, Saul's a grown man. David's a young man. David, he could look at it and say, that ain't going to fit. That's not going to fit. Why in the world would I try that? That's not going to fit me. Peer pressure. Notice what this says. And Saul armed David with his armor. Anything that'll make you try to change armor, anything that'll try to make you try to put on something new is a giant in your life. Oh, try this. Try this. Young person, try this. Young person, try. I'll never forget, Preacher Buddy C was preaching one night, and I've said this before with my daughter, and I'll say this with my granddaughters. And I'm tell you right now, I'll say this to all you young ladies. If he can't keep his hands off of you, just slap him upside the head. Oh, if you love me, if you love me, if you hit him in the nose and bloody it up, I'll find him. Anything that's going to try to make you change, anything that's going to try to make you do something different that you know is not right is a giant in your life. How many of us are facing giants right now? David could have said no, but what gets me is he did try it on. And if he'd have went to battle with that, you know what would have happened? He'd have died. The devil's been fighting some of y'all. He's been trying to tell you to change armor. He's been trying to tell you to, you need to try this. You need to try this. You need to try this. And what's going to happen when you do, there's going to be a giant that comes. And you're going to be defeated. Anything that'll cause you to think back on what God's done before you in the past is the giant. David's facing them. David tells Saul, listen, there was a bear and a lion. And God did it for me then, and God's going to do it for me now. Some of us right now, you need to realize you're facing a giant, and God did it for you in the past. And you need to understand something. You need to let that giant know that God's going to do it again. I will defeat you. I understand. David faced this giant. He did not face this giant with negativity. He did not face this giant with a happy. David said, I will cut your head off. The God of Israel will help me today. You will die. You got to be positive when you're facing a giant. And sometimes you got to let that giant know that, hey, God's done it for me before, and he's going to do it again today. You will die today. You will go down today. You will be defeated today. I will not lose today, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Anything that'll make you think back on what God's done for you in the past. Mike sang that song, God's Been Good. Tell you right now, been a whole lot more wins than they've been defeats. Amen. I have not won every time, but I'm telling you right now, with God on my side, I've won a whole lot more than I ever could have on my own. Anything that makes you depend on God is a giant in your life. Listen, I told you, most of y'all already heard this. Last year when I was facing that surgery, when I was first diagnosed with that mass on my kidney, I don't ever forget, they called and said, we need to do an ultrasound. So we did the ultrasound. I was praying. Yeah, Preacher R.B. Ashley come right to this church, preached the sermon for us. I got anointed. I'm telling you right now, there was not a doubt in my mind that God wasn't going to heal me. I'm telling you right now, I felt it with all my heart. God's going to take care of this knee. God's going to heal me. When we had that ultrasound, I done counted it. God's going to take care of this. Yeah. I'll never forget. They called, said, we got to do an ultrasound. And when the ultrasound come back, I said, Tony, I had in my mind, they ain't going to find nothing. This going to be one of them times we're going to go back to God's house, and I'm going to tell everybody that they wasn't able to find anything. God just showed up, and we're going to shout it out and praise God and honor God and just have us a time. I don't know. I don't remember where I was going, but I remember I had stopped at Henson's and got gas. And when I was pulling out of the parking lot, my phone rang. I answered the phone. It was that nurse. She said, the doctor needs you to come in. Let's talk about what we're going to do about that mass on your kidney. The devil said, uh-huh, I told you. I told you. I told you. And I'm going to be honest with you, I had myself a pity party. I did. I'm not going to lie to it. I was going down Taxahall Road, and I'm just thinking, Lord, the devil's on my back. I told you, I told you, I told you. Your God did not show up. I told you, I told you, I told you. And Mark chapter 5, verse 36 kept coming to my mind. When Jairus, they come told Jairus, said, trouble not the master no more, your daughter's dead. And Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. I had a calm come over me, and I said, Lord, whether it's there or whether it ain't, I'm depending on you. Anything that will make you depend on God is a giant in your life. And I'm telling you right now, y'all know the story. My wife wanted to take the kidney out, and the doctor come in there that morning to do the surgery. He said, I hear y'all want to take it out. Juwan said, yep, that's what we want to do. I don't want no chance of cancer. And the doctor said, well, what you want to do? I said, well, doc, it don't matter to me. You the professional. He said, well, I think I can save your kidney. I said, well, you do what you got to do. You the professional. You the doctor. You get in there. He said, when I get in there, if I don't think I can save it, everything will be all right. I'll take it out. He said, but and when next thing I knew, Tony, I woke up in the room. I'm laying in that bed. I had no pain whatsoever. I'm just being honest with you. They had that bag hooked up to me. My wife said, there's no blood in that bag. Understand that? I'm telling you right now, God showed up. Amen. He said, I think I got it all. He said, I'm almost positive I got it all. You'll have 80% of your kidney function still, glory to God. And I'm telling you right now, to that day, to this day, the only pain I felt was when they took that catheter out of me. In 3 weeks, I was back in the pulpit. Hey, that's my God. Amen. Anything that'll make you depend on God is a giant in your life. Yeah. Amen. What kind of giant are you facing this morning? What kind of giant are you facing this morning? Tommy's got a giant. Matt's got a giant. Brother Ed's got a giant. Skip's got a giant. Jacob's got a giant. Melvin's got a giant. Brian's got a giant. Brother Terry, Ronnie, we all got giants. But the question is, what you going to do about it this morning? Are you going to try to do it on your own? Or are you going to get on an altar and ask God to help you? That's the question. When David faced this giant, David said, I don't come to you in my name. I'm coming to you in his name. And when you get on an altar this morning, whatever the giant is, don't come in your name. Because you done tried that. You done tried that. And that didn't work. You come in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you right now, if you'll come in Jesus' name, everything will be all right. God, we love you. Might come back and sing, God's been good. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, touch hearts right now. God, help us to realize we all face giants, God. I pray, God, you touch us right now. Somebody's facing a physical giant, God. They've got a diagnosis, or somebody's facing a spiritual giant, God. Or it's a family giant, God. Maybe it's a giant on their job or a giant in school, God. And God, I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us to turn it over to you. In Jesus' name, amen.